And
hey.
Whoa.
Hey.
We're back.
We are. We're back. Where were you last week?
Undisclosed locations.
Undisclosed location. Was that your hockey tournament? Is that what you were doing?
No, that's in September, of which I am very excited for.
I'll notify the Vancouver Riot Police.
So who are you?
I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez. Yeah. Nice to meet you. This is called This Week on Channel 9.
This is This Week on Channel 9.
So, lots of stuff going on. We cover the world's tech news.
We do. Everything.
and by worlds, we mean Microsoft for developers.
Let's start with that, and then we'll expand.
We'll expand.
Yeah.
So, clearly our first story is, boom, Windows Phone Mango RTMs.
Right, and so we're used to RTM kind of being the definition of, hey, RTM means that now I can go get it. Now, actually, RTM originally...
Did it really, though? Because... Disks would have to be pressed.
Well,
you couldn't
buy
a machine from Dell.
That's what I'm saying. No, RTM originally means release to manufacturing, and then manufacturing has to go produce physical inventory and blah, blah, blah. And so what's happening? That's how they do it?
Yeah, that's how they do it.
They have kangaroos that sit there and punch out.
They have claw hands.
No wonder it takes so long.
You know nothing of manufacturing.
I sure don't. So, in any event, Windows Mango, the actual like phone image, has been released to the OEMs, who will now go out and tweak it and put it onto their physical devices so that you can buy one in the stores.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff to love in terms of on Windows Phone Mango, and certainly for features for developers, but just for end users, probably some of my favorites are being able to do multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
Multitasking is great.
The threading. Within the conversations, being able to quickly look at a full thread as opposed to having to scroll down and be like, okay, what did Dan say yesterday? And you know,
general performance stuff, IE9,
mm-hmm.
Being able to, I think they, you know, doing the side-by-side tests on browsers for web. And then probably one that we were using a lot when we were in Denver for a conference called MGX is turn-by-turn directions, which is awesome. Awesome, awesome. So you can say, like, from a contact to, you know, where you are now and be able to go to it. So
And so I can get that today within the Maps feature, but you're saying it actually reads it out to you.
It reads it out to you, and while you're driving, it'll dynamically update.
Okay.
So it's awesome. And,
cool.
Of course, it's available for free. And then the ability to do music identification is another cool one, which is like, hey, what's this song?
Okay.
So lots of cool stuff. And really, for developers... this is the developer resources, and we have talked a lot about this, but, you know,
Maybe you've put off getting to, you know, Mango, and now you're just getting into it. This is kind of the one place you want to go to get everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So Larry Lieberman, and this is the brain dump, if you will, of developer resources.
Yep, and that includes links to the training kit, the DPE builds, and
lots of good stuff.
Yeah.
And a full week.
Yes, definitely.
News,
a full
because
week.
Another light
RTM.
Switch.
That's right. So this is an RTM, which means that as an MSDN subscriber, you can go download it today. So this one's effectively actionable. But nice to see Visual Studio Light Switch. It's been underway for quite some time now, and you know, the last couple betas have looked really, really good. One of the really cool things that I like about Light Switch and this kind of approach that they're taking.
And I'm thinking we should actually just do the high level. If you've never heard of Light Switch, it's a tool. Designed to do forms over data applications very, very rapidly.
Very rapidly, and their tagline is, what is it? What do they say? Code optional, right?
Right.
So for I would imagine most of the people watching this show, Light Switch really isn't for them. But if they have people that are maybe you know, pseudo amateur developers, or maybe they just want to have access to the data and their applications that
for IT pros, for example,
example.
We need to do a quick inventory app. You don't want to build an ASP.NET MVC site, mm-hmm. and all the, you know, the overhead of doing that. They want something fast, quick, ready, and easy.
Yep. Absolutely, and really the cool thing that they've taken in terms of their approach also is it's model-based, which means that if you want to push this out to IIS on-premises, you can do that. If you want to turn around and push this out to Azure, you can do that. Zero changes to the code. It's just a deployment option.
And they have cool starter kits as well, so some of the ones that we've been talking about, you should definitely check out their starter kits. And what's interesting is tool vendors are also building a lot of third-party components to sort of customize the UI.
That's right. So let's say you're, I don't know if this is one of the ones that's shipping, but let's say you're FedEx and you want to give people easy access to watch all their orders, then FedEx can build a package that you can then use within Light Switch and makes it really easy to connect up to their data sources. So really nice to see this style of development come out there.
Cool. Yeah, very cool stuff. In relation to this, just switching to SharePoint and Windows Phone training course that this released as well.
And this actually isn't related to that at all. So it's a terrible segue.
Yeah, it probably is in relation to nothing.
Yes.
But this includes SharePoint 2010 mobile web development, SharePoint data for Windows Phone 7, all the data access and how you do security authentication and so forth.
Yeah, so let's be clear, because this seems like it's two different styles of training kits. There is a SharePoint training kit and there is a Windows Phone training kit, but this is if you want to take those great SharePoint applications you've invested in and make them accessible to people that are running on Windows Phone.
Sure.
So it's the combination of that experience.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is an awesome one, so we definitely gotta show this. This is ScriptTD, so it's easy mode for what are called tower defense games. So the whole idea behind this is you build an XML file that represents a game engine. The game engine is actually built in XNA and does all the actual details in terms of the timer for when to move, when to recalculate stuff. But you, as not even a developer, really, you're changing XML files and swapping graphics. You can build your own customized tower defense game.
Yeah, I play a lot of tower defense games, and you're right. It's always like, well, I'm sure I can build a better tower defense game. I really like. I'm into Plants vs. Zombies right now. It's not strictly a traditional like tower defense, but it kind of is, right? Because it's just linear tower. It's six zombies, so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so this is I think is very cool because I think it makes it that much easier, and you can actually, even if you don't want to build custom apps, the app is available in the marketplace so you can play with it.
And then does that ship with some sample apps or sample maps rather?
Ships with sample maps. So you can actually win the ScriptTD game and be like, ah, that's too easy. Let me change it. Make some creeps enemies faster, slower. So, have more defense.
So I can build my custom app on the phone, and then can I also build my own custom tower defense game with this and then ship that to the marketplace? Is that what this is for?
Yeah, this is really like you download Windows Phone developer tools and you open up the project.
That's cool.
And you copy and paste an XML file which represents your game, meaning like, hey, we have level 1, we have level 2, we have level 3. Every time, and then there's a definition of an enemy, and an enemy does this. When you kill it, you get this much money, right? So you can build a lot of tower defense games, and
that's
I think one of the cool parts is you can do linear paths or freeform. So like the pathfinding, so you don't have to build pathfinding. You can just use this app, and it has automatic pathfinding built into it.
That's awesome.
So lots of cool stuff to play with, and check out Larry's video as well. And this is ScriptTD, CodePlex.com.
Cool.
Cool stuff, which leads us to FX Cop.
Yeah, so FX Cop, you know, there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on in there. And what I really like here is that David has built some custom rules that he finds useful, and then he's sharing it with everybody. So one of them is the spell check. You know, wouldn't it be nice to be able to actually do spell check within our code and comments? And so he's built an FX Cop rule that then hooks into the spell check engine so that you can say whether or not your code is spelled correctly. A couple others in here as well.
Yeah, so being able to do reuse some of the rules like uncalled private methods and being able to know when something... Mm-hmm. If you know what's shipping in a zap and you know that somebody else can't call your zap, if somebody else isn't calling that file, then it's perfectly fine, right? So you know that code, like you have a public, nothing else is calling it.
Right.
And it's not like it can be exposed to somebody else in a zap.
So it's clean up unused code that's not going to be
exactly.
called by anybody else.
Lots of interesting stuff there.
Yep. Nice.
So,
Novell and Xamarin. This is news to me that not everybody uses Windows.
What?
Yeah.
What? Now, we've talked about the Miguel de Casas' company, Xamarin, but the idea here is for folks that were using Novell, it's basically Xamarin's now providing support for things like MonoTouch, Mono for Android, and it's how do you make sure that with some of the things that happened with Novell in terms of their prioritization of stuff, customers that were, say, using that stuff aren't left in the lurch. They have a support angle.
They're supported, and they're not going to be sued, although they've got the right patents and licenses.
I'm not talking patents and licensing. I don't know. That's Brian Keller. His home address is... I'm going to sue you.
It's no problem. Yeah,
the state of Washington, your employer, your girlfriend.
But this is nice to see. So this other story is really cool because, you know, a lot of people think of Microsoft as being maybe not as friendly to open source, but the reality is that there's a ton of open source stuff happening on the .NET platform. And this sample actually takes you through one guy's experience using a bunch of open source libraries, primarily focused around JavaScript and ASP.NET, to build a website in which you can learn his open source framework. So it's very recursive there.
Yeah, it definitely is. So we've talked about Knockout.js because there was a great session on Mix, and it was one of the top ones. This is Steve Sanderson's project. And I love it when people dissect projects. So mm-hmm. This is how we built learn.knockout.js, or knockoutjs.com. A bunch of projects within here, from MVC projects to using Ninject, which I was calling N-Inject.
Yeah.
And you correct
me. There's
like
a picture
ninja.
Of a ninja. Like, dude, it's Ninject.
Ninject.
And then there's like JavaScript libraries that allow you to do like code highlighting.
Obviously a requirement. You know, jQuery, like just a number of different things to be able to do JavaScript references, mm-hmm. CSS references, and so forth. So.
And he makes the point that you know, when you start mixing all these different open source libraries, it does kind of cause some integration headache because the different coding styles and what have you. But at the end of the
day, Name collisions can hit too.
But at the end of the day, you know, he was able to make it work and save himself a lot of time. One of the really cool things that I'm excited that we're doing in the next version of Visual Studio that mm-hmm. we can now talk about is just the fact that we're supporting multiple flavors of unit tests. So if I pull in a bunch of open source libraries that ship with their own in-unit tests, some of them ship with MS tests, some of them ship with XUnit tests, mm-hmm. now all of those can just aggregate together and just play as one happy big suite of tests within my solution. So that's, I think it's going to make it a lot easier.
So I don't need my own test harness app anymore?
Yeah, that's right. You can just use, you know, whatever you want.
Okay, you heard it here first, because I don't think that was... Okay.
Yes, we've talked about it.
Sure.
You're trying to get me sued and fired.
I am. Yeah. I am. I have simple goals, my friend. So, custom Mango tiles. Now, Dennis Elmarski did an article on the Coding for Fun toolkit, which includes the ability to do in-application tiles. So this is in your custom application.
Yeah, so I'm in a page within my application, and I want to have the same types of tiles that I have on the home page. Now you can't take these tiles and then just pin them directly to the home page. They actually have a superset of the functionality of the types of tiles you can build for the home page, except for the fact that they don't auto-update, but you can add that functionality.
But there's things these can do as well. So, mm-hmm. for example, like having a video brush. So you can do a video preview, like mm-hmm. a real-time small preview. I don't know if you'd want to do that to have, like, four previews or something for each video.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I need to watch four videos at the same time.
Yeah.
Or just this one four times.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool.
Or this one four times as big.
You could do like a Brady Bunch app. So we could be like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. It's a story of a show named TWC9. Okay, that's horrible. Yeah. But definitely check this out. I think it's a fun example. Which brings us to another interesting example, Tankster.
Yeah, so speaking of games, last week we talked about the social media toolkit the Azure toolkit for social games.
Yes.
And at the time, they also released a sample application called Tankster, so that if you wanted to build a social-enabled game and host it in Windows Azure, then this provides you with all the facilities to make that happen. How do I deal with achievements, leaderboards? How do I match games up with one another? How do I deal with in-game transactions? And so they're going to start supporting the Facebook currency that Zynga uses.
Okay.
And so this article by Nate actually walks you through the architecture of that Tankster game, and it's going to be a multi-part series where you can really get a fine-grained understanding of how that works.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very cool. And again, it's sort of an example for all that, but it's also a cool game.
Yeah, for sure.
So, interesting stuff.
Facebook credits.
Facebook credits.
Yes. Yes.
Going native. So we have a dedicated C++ show, Going Native episode zero, because you start everything at zero. I know, the joke doesn't get old. This is Charles, and you know, Charles has been evangelizing C++ for a long time, but I think it's interesting that we now are going to have a dedicated show to C++. So I know some of our friends, Mohsin and Craig Simmons and Tony Goodhue, like all are in on C++.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff around C++ in the next release. You know, I know that it's oftentimes easy to think that Microsoft only cares about managed code. There's a lot of sexy, cool stuff going on with C# and Visual Basic. But at the end of the day, more code gets written in C++ than any other language. I think that's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But no, Charles actually talks through like that there's still a lot of C++ developers
there
in
is.
The world. And
45 comments and counting on this show post. So there's definitely, he's hitting on a hot spot here. And a lot of people asking for it to be a bi-weekly show as well. So
yeah, I think daily.
Yeah, sure.
Which brings us to
Picks of the Week. So my Pick of the Week, this is a project that Ron Jacobs, our friend over from the App Fabric show, put together. And basically the idea is this: you know, I've got a project, a solution that I want to share with my friends. Maybe I want to email it to you. Maybe I want to post it up to CodePlex to share it with everybody. I've got a whole bunch of crap in there, you know, bin files and symbols files and all sorts
personal
of stuff.
Personal resharper folder settings.
Oh, yeah, source control bindings, all sorts of stuff. And so right now, man, that's a huge manual process for me to figure out what is the bare minimum that I need to share with you. And so Clean Project is a project that he put together that makes it really easy to just go run that against your code, and it'll clean it up, and you can even choose to zip it up. So this, coupled with the licensing header solution we talked about a couple months ago.
This needs to be combined.
They do.
And then removing the source control bindings is another one.
I think his handles that one.
Ooh,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So between the two of those,
coming together,
adding the license headers, I think that's
then
a
making a
right
click extension. So you just right click and boom.
Yeah.
Maybe writing the code too.
Yeah.
Why not?
And if I could do it from my phone. And using my Kinect device.
It needs to be Kinect enabled. Brilliant.
Until then, I'm not going to use it.
Until then, it means nothing.
This is no longer my Pick of the Week. We've gone from me being excited about it to me realizing how much it really sucks. Sorry, Ron.
So, which brings us to a wonderful transition for my Pick of the Week, which is Kinect Camera, a Camera Codec Pack.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with Kinect.
This was one of your Picks of the Week in the past, and I called you on it, except this is actually a new version now that's published.
Yeah, yeah, so this is the July 26th version, and particularly it covers a lot of the big Canon cameras, including...
Can you list all of this for us?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I think it was 50D was the one I was most interested in, and a bunch of Nikon, a bunch of Sony, a bunch of Olympus. So this is kind of a must-have if you're a photog.
Yeah,
photography person.
And Polaroid, too. So it plugs right in now. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, I thought it did it all wireless.
You have to shake it while it's going. So it works better.
Have you been taking pictures
with
an Etch-a-Sketch again?
Yeah, exactly.
Stand still, Mona Lisa. Which brings us to the end of the show.
Thank God. We'll see you next week.